Welcome to Leo Roundtable at leoroundtable.com. My name is Chip the Block, and I'm your host, and we're a group of law enforcement professionals that talk about today's news and issues, but we do it from a law enforcement perspective. Now, let me introduce the crew. Guys, if you don't mind waiting for the video portion of our show, Sheriff Mark Kreider, all the way from Walla Walla County in Washington State. So thanks so much for being back on the show, Sheriff. Also, Lieutenant Randy Sutton, retired from the Las Vegas Metro Police Department, the founder of the Wounded Blue at thewoundedblue.org. We're having a good show today. A shout out to our sponsors, guys, our title sponsor, Galls at Galls.com, our satellite sponsor, Compliant Technologies. And thanks to them, I'm losing count. We went satellite radio May the 5th. I don't know what week we're in right now, but we have hit the road on satellite radio, and we're not looking back. It's been great. A shout out to gunlearn.com, another sponsor, bluethegold.com, mymedicare.life, safeguardrecruiting.com. Thanks to them, we're streaming to about 1.5 million followers right now on social media, and also twobells.com. They built a new online store at leoroundtable.com. You can buy cool shirts like the one that I'm wearing, and they're very inexpensive. Also, shout out to Brian Burns for the Tampa Free Press at tampafp.com. Thank you for carrying our content, Brian. Also, Ray Dietrich, former lawman.com and lawofficer.com. Thanks to all these entities for helping make this show happen. And now, here's what we're going to be covering today, guys. Our very first story, Bondi. And we're talking about not James Bond. We're talking about our AG, Attorney General Pam Bondi, nukes a judge-appointed prosecutor after a Lena Haba ouster. It's a fantastic story. I can't wait to cover that. I would just like to live in Pam Bondi's shoes for a day. That would be so much fun. And then former Las Vegas police officer convicted of murder is to be released from prison. Randy's got some inside scoop on that. We've got a Henderson SWAT team. They fatally shoot an armed 71-year-old man during a search warrant. Man, where in the country could something like that possibly happen? Oh, that's right. It's Las Vegas. Okay, Randy's going to be talking about that one, too. We've got a body cam video showing a woman charging at Bakersfield police officers with a knife at a Walmart. So that's not too surprising, and leading to a shooting. And she lives. Don't get upset. Over 100 Boston criminal cases are tossed out as defense lawyers' work stoppage drags on. So all the public defenders want more money, and they're not taking the cases, so they're having to release the bad guys. It's crazy. And then we got Colorado Springs police release video of a deadly shooting of an armed man in the downtown area. Amherst police body cam video. An officer ends up being stabbed and the suspect shot. And we got other stuff. Off-duty Lakeland cop arrested. And that was in where Grady Judd is at in Polk County. Then Fort Lauderdale police officer fatally shoots a suspect armed with an airsoft gun. So we got a lot of stuff to cover. So let's go ahead and jump into it. Our first story, rvmnews.com, which stands for Red Voice Media. Bondi nukes a judge-appointed prosecutor after a Lena Haba ouster. So U.S. Attorney General Pam Bondi, she took swift action on Tuesday after a panel of federal judges in New Jersey, they voted to end Lena Haba's tenure as interim U.S. attorney for the District of New Jersey. Now, when they did that, Bondi terminated Haba's court-appointed replacement, Desiree LeGrace, hours after the decision was announced. So she pretty much stymied their efforts to not back the judge that the Trump administration wanted. Now, the move followed a coordinated pressure campaign reportedly led by the House Democrat Minority Leader Hakeem Jeffries, who urged federal judges to remove Haba from her position after she indicted Representative LaMonica McGivern. Now, according to the court documents, Haba's interim term, it was going to expire on Friday just before midnight. And a group of federal judges, including several appointed during the Obama and Biden-Harris administrations, they voted on Tuesday not to extend her term. Now, the order was signed by Chief Judge Renee Marie Baum, it says that appointing First Assistant U.S. Attorney Desiree LeGrace as the replacement. And that was supposed to happen immediately. But on Tuesday, Bondi issued a statement confirming that she removed Grace from the role. So they couldn't replace her with Grace because Bondi took her out of the race. And here's a quote from, it looks like it is from Bondi saying, U.S. Attorney Haba has been doing a great job in making New Jersey safe again. Nonetheless, politically minded judges refused to allow her to continue in her position, replacing Alina with the first assistant. And that was what Bondi said. Now, according to the first assistant United States attorney in New Jersey, I digress. She says that accordingly, the first assistant United States attorney in New Jersey has just been removed. And that means that nobody's in charge right now, at least there until they figure this out. The decision to fire Grace, it came hours after the court's announcement. It signaled the DOJ's disapproval of what Bonnie described as political interference. It's these judges that are overstepping their bounds again or getting politically involved or making political decisions instead of doing the right thing. They go on to say the Department of Justice does not tolerate rogue judges, especially when they threaten the president's core Article II powers, is what Bondi said. Goes on to say that the internal shakeup comes in the wake of Hobbs' decision to bring charges against Representative LaMonica McIver, who's a Democrat and representing New Jersey. The indictment drew national attention. The article says it sparked backlash from Democratic leadership, including Minority Leader Jeffries, who reportedly lobbied for Hobbs' removal. So he went to these other justices to try to talk them into doing this. The situation escalated when Jeffries reached out to the federal judges, pressing them to take action against Haba. And on Tuesday morning, they voted to remove her from the interim post, and the court announced Grace's appointment later that day. Of course, that didn't last long. Commentary on this, gentlemen. It seems like the performance I'm seeing from Bondi's office is pretty impressive. Randy Sutton.
Yeah, this is the very definition of political interference. When Hakeem Jeffries can go to federal judges and have an appointee removed, if it isn't more clear than this, there is no other avenue that could be clear. And it shows that the political interference with this administration is continuing unabated. And I think that this is the entire tenure of this president is going to be hampered by activist judges like this. And it is truly something to be very, very concerned about.
You know, I agree, but do you not? I mean, I'm so glad we're seeing a huge difference between Trump 1.0 and 2.0. It's almost like, you know, the other side is playing 2D chess and we're playing 3D chess, right? I mean, so far it seems like we have answered pretty well all the attempts that they've made to subvert, you know, the system, the Trump administration, and the things that he promised the more than half of the American people that voted for him that he was going to do.
Oh, 100%. And Pam Bondi, she's a stud. She's a stud.
She's a rock star. All right. Any more commentary on this, gentleman, before we move on? Sheriff Ryder?
Yeah, I've never heard of that in the federal system, that judges can interfere with the executive branch's decision on who to appoint. That's an executive branch decision. So, very strange to me. I didn't even know that was a thing. But in this day and age, what isn't a thing, I guess, at this point?
See, Trump 1.0, I could see where they stymied that. The second choice makes it on. That didn't happen this time. At least Trump has done a much better job, in my opinion, of putting the right people in the right place. And these guys are decision makers, and you have to act quickly. I mean, let's face it, a Bondi wouldn't have taken the new appointee out immediately. It would have been a done deal. It would have been a mute point. I really enjoy reading the news cycle on a daily basis now. I just get so excited. I'm so glad we cover the news, guys. So if you guys are ready, let's go to our first update article. I'm taking them out of order because Randy's on the show. And Randy, I actually, when you were on the show last week, you had the bolt, unexpectedly, and we didn't have time. We never got to this, so I definitely want to cover it. So KTNV.com, and I'm sure you know what those letters stand for. Former Las Vegas police officer convicted of murder to be released from prison. Now, we're talking about former Las Vegas police officer, and it's Ronald Mortensen. So on Tuesday, prosecutors reached a guilty plea, but it's an agreement with attorneys for Ronald Mortensen. And this officer was originally convicted on first-degree murder charges related to the death of a guy named Daniel Mendoza. And our officer and another officer, Christopher Brady, they were off duty when the incident happened. It was back December the 27th in 1996. So it's been a day or two. Officer Brady allegedly drove his truck recklessly through the neighborhood. And he and this officer were talking about Mortensen. They thought that they could get away with harassing. And look, harassing the bangers and the dopers and the people in the neighborhood because they were nasty people, is what I'm reading here. So Brady claimed that the other officer, Mortensen, that he's the guy that pointed the handgun out the window and fired several shots before the pair drove away. But Mortensen's maintained his innocence, claiming that it was really Brady who was responsible for the shooting, and he had used Officer Mortensen's gun because he couldn't reach his. So investigators testified that Officer Brady's fingerprints, that they were not on the firearm, and eyewitnesses identified Mortensen as the gunman. So he ended up being found guilty and sentenced to life in prison. And that was back on July the 25th of 27. Now, let's come forward to March 31st, 2025. A judge actually overturned the conviction, said that Mortensen's entitled to a new trial. There were several reasons for that, including prosecutors. They didn't fulfill their burden to prove first-degree murder, didn't adequately instruct the jury, suppressed some of the evidence that supported his defense. So Officer Mortensen's attorney, his name is David Westbrook, and we're coming up on a commercial break in a second, but the DA's office was planning to retry the case. However, Officer Mortensen asked for a plea deal in order to get out of prison. So his attorney, Westbrook, and Mortensen, they asked to enter what they call an Alford plea when the defendant maintains their innocence, but they acknowledge that the prosecutors have enough evidence to convict him anyhow. And the DA's office, though, did not agree to that. And so even though Officer Mortensen says he's innocent, he did agree to plead guilty to a lesser charge, second-degree murder and conspiracy to commit murder. And what this all means is that the plea agreement, it's he gets between 14 and 35 years, but he's going to get credit for time served and he's going to get out. And so that's the way that it's going to end. So it says he's Mortensen has about 29 and a half years served with, wow, that's a lot, with work time and credit for good behavior. So he was released on July the 7th, according to NDOC records. So there you go. You got about 20 seconds if anybody wants to chime in on this, and then we'll go to a commercial break. Randy?
Yeah, I've got a whole bunch of info on this one. So,
oh, you do?
Right after the break, I'll fill you in on all the goofy
stuff. All right, guys. We'll see. It's going to be worth sticking around for this. So Randy Sutton's got the scoop. Stick with us, guys. Commercial break. We'll be right back. All right, guys. It's time to talk about our title sponsor, Gauls at Gauls.com. And, you know, as police officers, we know we can buy our gear from a lot of different sources. And when you throw the online options in the play, wow, the choices are almost endless, right? But I want to remind everybody about the importance of supporting the people that actually support law enforcement. And I don't know of a company that does that better than Gauls at Gauls.com. Even their motto is proud to serve those who serve, which, of course, they do in spectacular fashion. And they walk the talk by supporting dozens, and I mean dozens of focused organizations like this radio show. So when you're looking for gear, please support our title sponsor by going to Gauls at Gauls.com. And even our panelist, Captain Brett Bartlett, always says they pretty much have everything but guns and ammo. So if you're in the security space, the Leo space, they've got some cool stuff. And even if you're not, they've got boots, they've got bags, they've got everything. So please, if you haven't checked them out lately, go to Gauls.com, check them out. And they have gift cards. Hook up your family, friends, and loved ones. Again, that is at Gauls.com. Welcome back. Leo Roundtable at LeoRoundtable.com, the law enforcement talk show. My name is Chip DeBlock, and I'm your host. We're joined by Sheriff Mark Kreider and also Lieutenant Randy Sutton. We just got done talking about a Las Vegas cop. He's been in jail for about, 29 and a half years, I believe, on a murder charge, Randy, and the judge said that, you know what, we need to do a retrial on this thing, and they were going to prosecute him. He did a plea deal, and he's getting out with time served on a lesser charge that he pled guilty to, even though he maintains his innocence. Randy Sutton has got some inside scoop. Randy retired from Las Vegas Metro Police Department, the same agency, so Randy, the floor is yours.
Yeah, I was intimately involved with this case because these two individuals, Mortensen and Brady, actually worked sister squad to mine. I was a sergeant at the time, and that patrol area was my patrol area as well. And it was an area that had a lot of gang bangers in it, low income area. And one night these two went out and got drunk. I know that's a shock, and decided it was going to be a good idea to go quote scare unquote the bangers. So they were in Brady's truck, and that's pretty significant for one of the reasons why this case got tossed all these years later. And they drove down to this this area, and somebody opened fire on a group of guys, just bangers, just standing there, like 1:30 in the morning, and one of them died as a result. Well, it came out very quickly that this was involving these two off-duty cops. And this, so what really brought this, I mean, it was massive publicity at the time. You can imagine two Vegas cops doing a drive-by shooting on a bunch of gangbangers. This went through the city like wildfire. Now, Chris Brady's father was, now these were both young cops, right? They were both, maybe they had 2-3 years on the job. They weren't veteran cops. But Chris Brady's dad was a homicide guy, and very well thought of in the department. Well, what happened was somehow after the shooting, the entire truck was repainted. They put in new upholstery, and I mean it was truly and it because it took a couple it took a couple weeks for this investigation to unfold, and there was a lot of talk about who the actual shooter was, but it doesn't really matter. I mean, at the end of the day, they're both just as guilty, whoever pulled the trigger. And Mortensen, here's my way of a little information. Mortensen was flagged at the beginning of his career. The background investigator said, "Don't hire him." And the sheriff at the time, they were for some reason he countermanded the background investigator, and they did hire him. And this is why background investigations are so incredibly important to law enforcement. And this is a prime example of here's an experienced background guy saying, "Not this guy," and then somebody from above going, "This guy." And then it blows up in everybody's face. So it's not a surprise that that they did take a plea deal. I mean, he did serve 30 years. That's more than most people levels ever serve. So I'm not going to lose any sleep over it.
Wow, that is some serious inside scoop, Randy. So thank you. Thank you. You told it so vividly, I felt I was there, you know. So
Well, I was there.
dude, is the statute of limitations over with now on that or what? Yeah. And for people watching, just listen to the audio portion. You're missing the mug that Randy's drinking out of. He's got his picture on the mug with some hot chick. Pretty impressive, Randy. Even for you, it's pretty impressive, I gotta say.
What makes you think it's a chick?
Well, I mean, that's a good point. That's a good point. I have some expertise in that arena, but I can't say it's
Hey,
foolproof. I have.
this is a whole new age, man, okay?
You're right. You're right. That scares me. That's why I'm glad I'm married.
Yeah.
No more surprises. All right. Well, if there's no more commentary, we'll jump on to our next one here. We have a video component on this. We got a couple minutes before we take our first commercial break, or actually our next one. And let me go and say this: if you're watching the show live and if you're watching on stream, we're going to do a $50 Galls gift card giveaway today. So all you have to do to enter is type in the word Galls, it's GALLS, and give us your email address. If you haven't won that gift in the last 60 days, go ahead and enter. And we'd like to give away one on our third commercial break. We're coming up on our second commercial break in a minute. But this next story here is a video component. We're going to get it from rumble.com, our favorite law enforcement video channel called This Is Butter. It's titled Henderson SWAT Team. They fatally shoot an armed 71-year-old guy during a search warrant. Las Vegas metro area again, but it's the Henderson Police Department. So there, I'll give you that, Randy. You were probably still there or else has something to do with it anyhow. But a 71-year-old man was killed in a shooting involving Henderson Police the morning in Southeast Las Vegas. And there's a neighborhood over there, and it's I guess patrolled by Henderson. So the shooting occurred at 7 o'clock in the morning. Sergeant Daniel Medrano said that the incident started on Wednesday, 5:40 p.m. when police were investigating a burglary involving a vehicle that was stolen from a luxury home neighborhood. So officers, they end up following the stolen car to a home, and then they do the smart thing. They get a search warrant. So at 7 o'clock in the morning, Henderson police, they using their SWAT team, they serve the search warrant at this location that the stolen vehicle drove to. And when they make entry, there's a 71-year-old guy with a handgun that turns the corner. You can tell the SWAT guy who's armed with a rifle, a long gun, does not want to shoot this guy. SWAT guy, they're giving the bad guy the commands to drop the gun. He backs around the corner. Bad guy turns the corner coming after the SWAT guy. And even then he hesitates. And the SWAT guy looks like he does a double tap with the rifle. And the 71-year-old goes down and he ends up dying. Nobody else gets injured. Look, we're coming up on our second commercial break. We're going to dissect this one and all over again, just like we did the last one. Stick with us, guys. It's going to get really good. We'll be right back. All right, guys. You know, in today's world, protection goes beyond physical safety, and it's about safeguarding those on the front lines from what we call hidden threats. And that's where MITEQ, which is a division of Compliant Technologies, comes in. Now, MITEQ provides advanced protective solutions designed for law enforcement, corrections, and first responders. And their Eagle Protect nitrile gloves, they offer 4-hour fentanyl and xylene protection, and that gives you peace of mind in high-risk environments. Now, also, their MyShield disinfectants and sanitizers, they eliminate 99.9% of germs, bacteria, and viruses on contact, plus they continue the kill for up to 28 days, helping you stay protected both on and off duty. So when it comes to safety and it being non-negotiable, you can trust MITEQ to deliver the protection that you need. You can learn more about how to equip your team today by simply going to compliantechnologies.com/MITEQ. Again, compliantechnologies.com/MITEQ, because the best defense starts with the right protection. Now we're going to be talking about Blue the Gold at bluethegold.com. If you're struggling with the ins and outs of warrantless searches and seizures, or if you're worried about the liability in case you get it wrong, say hello to bluethegold.com. They translate search and seizure doctrines in the clear, straightforward concepts that any officer can relate to. Plus, they give the training for free thanks to bluethegold.com's free weekly webinars. Now, coming up next week, all about abandonment. Interesting, huh? That is on July the 30th. You can sign up at bluethegold.com today and join thousands of your peers in blue and step up your legal game, because frankly, you and your agency cannot afford not to. Again, that is at bluethegold.com. Welcome back. Leo Roundtable at leoroundtable.com, the law enforcement talk show. We've got Sheriff Mark Kreider, Lieutenant Randy Sutton on the show. We're talking about today's news and issues from a law enforcement perspective. And before the commercial break, we just got done talking about a story where Las Vegas metro area, we have a local police department that's patrolling. And well, anyhow, there ended up being a stolen vehicle. They followed it to a home. They got a search warrant the next morning. Go in. They use their SWAT team. They're doing everything right. But the guy inside the home, the 71-year-old, he starts coming at police with a handgun. And they're announcing, going through the house, saying, police, police. And he won't drop the gun. And the SWAT guy that's got a rifle, and that's the body cam we're watching, backs away from the guy with the gun that's not compliant. So I'm going to call him a bad guy because he is. And he backs around the corner out of view. The guy comes around the corner right after the SWAT guy. They continue to give the guys command. And this is close quarters. And they end up shooting. It looked like it was a double tap with the rifle. And the 71-year-old goes down and he ends up dying. Randy Sutton, your neck of the woods. Are you familiar with this shooting by chance? Or
I am familiar with this department. So just by way of a little background, Henderson is a suburb of Las Vegas. It's contiguous. So literally one street is Vegas, the next street is Henderson. And they have a pretty big department. They have about 300 to 400 people. And basically what's happened here is the SWAT is called out for every search warrant now. So, it used to be if you were narcotics, you served your own warrants. If you were auto theft, you served your own warrants, et cetera. But pretty much the policies here are that SWAT does all of the entries and then turns it over to whatever team it is. Now, you think about this. This is an auto theft search warrant. And it reveals that every single time you go into someone's house, you are facing mortal danger. I was shocked that when this 71-year-old, it doesn't matter how old the guy was, that trigger could be pulled by anybody. But apparently this was not a real gun. And he was, but the officer had no way of knowing that. And you could see he didn't want to shoot the guy. Mm-hmm. He took his own life in his hands by backing out. And he did everything possible not to shoot this guy, which probably, by way of a tactical decision, I'm not sure it was the right one, because this could have ended up completely different if this had been a real gun. But the reality is that, it really demonstrates the danger for every time you go into someone's home, you're facing mortal danger.
Yeah. Thank you. Yeah. You're right. Obvious. This cop did not want to shoot this guy. He had no choice. And you're right. He may have waited a little long. I feel for the guy. There's a human component, which I think you need, but yeah. So good coverage, good breakdown, Randy. If you guys are ready, we have another one back-to-back with a video component. So on this next one, body cam video shows a woman charging at Bakersfield officers with a knife at Walmart.
Your mom is here with us.
We have tried to get you some help, okay? It's not real.
It is real.
It's not real, baby. Hey, Nene. Just take your hand out of your body. The body! Yes, Nene!
No big shock there, and it leads to a shooting. So let's go Bakersfield, California. So, but we are still in California. On Thursday, June the 3rd, 2025, it's 7:43 p.m. Officers get a call to Walmart. There's been an assault inside the store. Now, when Bakersfield police get there, they're directed to the Shawnee Homes by store security. Although the assault happened inside, now she's on the outside of the store up against the concrete wall for the Walmart. And they try to talk to her while she's outside and try to engage her to debrief her, understand the situation, what's going on. And they notice that she keeps one hand concealed in her purse and that she's not responding to their efforts to communicate with her. So just before 8:30 p.m., she pulls out a knife from her purse and charges towards the officers. And they say that they deployed tasers and that they were unsuccessful. And it's kind of interesting, the layout, because on the original body cam that we're watching, we've got an officer that's armed with a taser, and then he's facing the female, the black female, against the wall that ends up having the knife in her purse. But beyond her, we have a female officer, and then to our taser officer's right, we've got a guy with a pistol with lethal. And so she starts running forward, and we get to watch it from the taser body cam and from the pistol body cam. And so when she gets about 10 feet away from the officers, that's when the shooting happens. And so she survives, though. They book her. She has to go to the hospital, but she ends up getting booked for assault and assault with a deadly weapon on a peace officer. So that's what ends up happening. Commentary on that, gentlemen. It was I'm sure they have Walmarts in Walla Walla County. I don't know. What do you think, Ray? I think they do. What do you think, Sheriff?
We do have a Walmart in Walla Walla County. Thankfully, it is in the city of College Place, and so they respond to most of the stuff at Walmart, and it is probably their busiest call section. Didn't do much wrong on this. Tactically, I had to watch it a couple times. It looks like we got two with less lethal and only one with lethal as they come forward. Originally, when I watched it, I thought the guy, the original angle, that guy shot, but he was armed with a taser. I could see a little bit of yellow, and he was in direct line with the other taser shooter, so not set up for using lethal. The angles were a little scary for me, but the outcome was positive. No officers got hurt. I don't understand why people charge people with a knife when they have a gun. It doesn't make sense to me, but what do I know?
Yeah.
There's a lot of suicide by cop out there.
Yeah.
That's like this moron in Henderson. He's got a toy gun. What do you think is going to happen? You know, you see, there's a lot of mental illness out there. That's all I can say. You could tell, by the way, this female was responding or not responding, that there was a lot of there's some mental issues there as well.
Yeah, it also sounded like maybe her mother was already in custody, because you hear kind of chirping from the background of, you know, comply, 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 and there didn't seem to be any of that going on. And it's an interesting question. So, you know, we don't have the full. You know, it was only a snippet of the thing, but I think the question that we need to ask ourselves as professionals are our tactics inducing jeopardy upon them because we're so hesitant to engage? You know, we looked at the last one, the guy's backing up. You know, from my SWAT days, as soon as I encounter that guy, I'm engaging him. I'm not backing up because I don't know where my teammates are behind me. And am I putting them in jeopardy by backing up the same way as this? Did we engage this individual too long before we tried less lethal and she would have never gotten that knife out of her purse? Maybe, maybe not. But I think those are some of the things that we need to be asking ourselves as professionals is, are our tactics working properly to reduce the amount of force that we use on individuals that we encounter?
Good point. Good point. Well, and I don't know if you guys are noticing, but they're always, you know, these Walmart stories, there seems to be some common ground, no matter where you're at. I don't care if you're in Walla Walla or you're in Tampa, Florida, or maybe in Vegas. I'll tell you, the client
the tells Walmart.
Yeah, the Walmartians, yeah. The client tells the same, I'm telling you. At masslive.com, over 100 Boston criminal cases tossed out as defense lawyer work stoppage drags on. This is a crisis. So an accused cocaine trafficker, a man charged with beating a pregnant woman and a woman who had been on the Boston Police Department's most wanted list were among the more than 100 defendants whose charges were dismissed on Tuesday because there were no public defenders to represent them. The cases first to go up in the smoke since the private attorneys, in search of a pay increase from the state, they started declining to take new cases of people who could not afford an attorney. This is crazy. Without attorneys to represent the indigent defendants, judges are forced to dismiss some of the cases and release other subjects that are held on more serious charges. Now, and here's a quote from Suffolk Assistant District Attorney Amelia Sine saying that today is quite an unprecedented tragedy. I believe to our victims in the Commonwealth and to the community with these cases being dismissed. The cases dismissed also include stabbings, an attempt by, this is crazy, an attempt by a woman to burn a family member, attacks on female victims in the middle of the street in front of witnesses. And that was according to Mark Tome, Chief of District and Municipal Courts for Suffolk County District Attorney's Office. We have a great concern for public safety given some of the cases being dismissed. And he goes on to say that prosecutors and staff for the Committee for Public Counsel Services, and that's the state's public defender agency, they scrambled on Tuesday morning to find lawyers that were willing to take on new indigent clients before the cases would be dismissed. In only a handful of cases were they even successful. The vast majority of roughly 130 defendants, 130, they said over 100, but 130, whose hearings Tuesday came after they had been without counsel for 45 days, saw their cases tossed out. We've only got 15 seconds before we go to our third commercial break, but wow. Sheriff Kreider, a few seconds.
This is the same problem that we have in Washington State because the legislature passed limiting the number of cases that our public defenders could take. Walla Walla County spends over $1.5 million a year on indigent defense.
I wouldn't doubt it. Commercial break, guys. We'll be right back. All right, guys. You know, as law enforcement officers, we deal with guns every day, but it's what we don't know about them that gets us in the trouble. Injuries, civil lawsuits, accidental discharges, misidentifications, lost prosecutions, and also disciplinary issues. But gunlearn.com, they have your back. You can quickly become extremely firearm knowledgeable by simply learning 14 training modules from the convenience of your home or your office, or by attending the live seminar at gunlearn.com. You can also become a safe, accurate, and competent certified firearm specialist like our very own Captain Brett Bartlett and also attorney Ken Afianko. Now, the course has had huge success in raising the bar of firearm knowledge, and GunLearn has been a trusted source since way back in 2011 by gun manufacturers, federal agencies, forensic organizations, and police departments nationwide. Now, listen to this. If you have your own agency, the founder, Dan O'Kelly, has got a deal for you. You can actually host a seminar for absolutely no cost. It's an amazing opportunity. You can go to gunlearn.com to get more information. And again, that site is gunlearn.com. Welcome back to Leo Roundtable at leoroundtable.com. My name is Chip the Block, your host for a law enforcement talk show, joined by Sheriff Mark Kreider from Walla Walla County in Washington State and Lieutenant Randy Sutton from Las Vegas Metro in Nevada. Now, let me just go ahead and announce that we have our free $50 Gold's gift card giveaway winner, Polly. On Facebook, you are the winner. I like the email name that you have as well. So, Polly, congratulations on winning that. And I will get that to you right after the show is over. So, you know, before we went to commercial break, we just got done talking about a story, and that was it had a video component on it. And on this one, this was the Walmart shooting that we had, I believe, is what we just got done talking about. So, guys, I know Sheriff Kreider was weighing in. Randy, did you want to cover that one next?
We had already done with that. We were on the next one. You better.
Oh, you know what? You're right.
Come on, man.
Oh my gosh. I'm.
Take your medication.
We're talking about the 100 Boston criminal cases that were tossed out because we can't get a public defender to work the case. So you're absolutely right. So Randy Sutton.
Wow, all I read this, and I should not be shocked at anything that happens in that area. They're paying these guys. They're paying their public defenders, who they drag in off the lawyers list, $65 an hour. Gee, that's from about 20 years ago. So they go up to 125, but you know they're lowballing them. So this is a system that's broken. This didn't just happen overnight. It shows that they really don't care about releasing these people. In fact, my guess is that's probably part and parcel of why this is happening, is because in this liberal area of the world, they're not concerned with releasing these folks. In fact, that's part of their plan and their plot. So the fact that the lawyers are saying, "Hey, I'm not going to work for $65 an hour," I don't blame them. But the system is broken, and until they actually take this seriously, they are releasing these hardened criminals onto the street, and they're never going to face charges. Once they dismiss these cases, that's done. So this is really a debacle.
Wow. Thank you, Sheriff Kreider.
Yeah, I can't agree more. I think this is a strategy here in Washington State. They do the same thing. Our small county pays about $1.5 million in legal fees every year for indigent defense. The legislature just passed and we're a very small county, so we don't have a lot of attorneys available. And they just passed legislation that only allows defense attorneys to take a certain number of cases. So essentially, what you're doing is you're forcing the prosecutor to prioritize cases. All three of us sitting here have probably complained during our career that prosecutors never take enough cases. And so now we're shrinking even what they are taking. So they're having to dismiss felony cases that they would normally prosecute
Wow.
because there's not enough defense attorneys. And quite frankly, I think that's the aim of the legislature, is because they don't want to incarcerate these people, and they are bad people.
Yeah, that is scary, and you're absolutely right. Over well, I don't think it really is a jurisdiction issue. You know, there's always cases that the state attorney's office ends up dropping that you wish they would have taken, and we know, let's face it, that a lot of these decisions are made off of re-election, right? They work off of ratios on being able to win cases, so they take only the cases that they think are a sure win, because they want to have those stats when they come up for re-election. And they want that re-election bid. They want to be able to say that we won over 50% of our cases, or 75% of our cases. And yeah, it's kind of scary. But we've seen that all my career.
Well, I don't think this is from the prosecutor. I don't think this is a prosecutorial thing.
No, no, no,
This
no.
is a legislative thing.
Yeah. But well, you know, I think it's interesting that the people that are complaining the most, it's the state. It seems like it's the prosecutors. And I don't know what the potential answer is for them, but they are seeing it as the crisis. And you know, they're the guys that are prosecuting, but they want to make sure there's due process too. So you have to appreciate that they're actually representing both sides, and they shouldn't have to be, but at least it seems like they're trying to do the right thing. So, well, guys, we have another story. I haven't covered the one where we have a stabbing yet, and I definitely want to cover that. So if you guys are up for it, let's cover, it's going to be video number 4, I believe, and it is at rumble.com. Again, our favorite law enforcement video channel called This Is Butter. Amherst police release a body cam video of an incident where an officer ends up getting stabbed and the suspect gets shot too, though.
It's Amherst police.
So this officer, according to our article, is recovering, expected to return to duty after being stabbed by a suspect during a domestic violence dispute on July the 12th. Again, these DV calls, domestic violence, they are freaking dangerous. So the stabbing led to Amherst police officers shooting a 26-year-old Raquel Grant. Now, Grant was in the hospital, listed in serious condition. He suffered a gunshot wound, or wounds, to the side and to his elbow. But listen to how this thing goes down. Amherst police, there's a body cam with us. We've got Officer Dan Bogolyov and Lieutenant Matthew Labuglio. They respond, and this is going to be on July the 12th before 5 o'clock p.m. And as the lieutenant and the officer are calling for Grant to come out of the home, Grant exits a window in the back of the house, and he charges at Van Glove with two knives. Now, remember, it's a DV call. So they're kind of like distracted looking at the front door. And we actually have a body cam where you see this dude shoot out the window on the side, and he's got like a knife in each hand, and he's charging this particular officer. And he gets too close. So it says that, you know, the guys, remember, he's charging a cop. We have two cops, a lieutenant and an officer, and I got a bad guy charging with two knives. So officer Van Glove was stabbed in the arm and the shoulder, and then the lieutenant turns the corner. He's got a taser in his hand, and so he tries to taser the guy. It fails, and then our bad guy, well, our good guy, the officer that's on the ground getting stabbed, he kicks the bad guy away, and that's when they both pull out their guns and they light him up and they shoot him, and five shots ended up being fired. And how the guy was even alive afterwards, I have no idea. The entire incident, from the time that our bad guy exited from the side window to the officers firing, it was only 6 seconds. And the whole knife fight, everything happened, the kick, everything happened in that time. It the craziest thing. Randy Sutton, and talk about an officer that might need to talk to the Wounded Blue and have some PTSD issues afterwards, Randy. Wow.
Yeah, man, this is another incredible demonstration of how things turn south really, really quickly. Of course, I'm a little concerned about why you would have a taser in your hand instead of your firearm under circumstances like this. Unfortunately, we've been seeing this more and more, where officers are counting on a taser to be as an incredibly effective device, and oftentimes it is not. Reliance on a taser is costing lives. So that's my concern about this one.
Well, remember, the guy with the taser was a lieutenant, Randy. I don't want to say anything, but look in his defense, and I'm just saying practically, you know, he did not see the guy come. He was not in a position. He was over by the front door, so I don't think that he was in a position to see the bad guy come out of the window with the two knives. And when he rounded the corner, I'm assuming that he had to make a decision. I got a taser in my hand, I can fire, or I can ditch it and go for the gun. And it may be a time thing to where he thought, let me go and deploy it while I'm here, and it may prevent this officer from being stabbed instead of taking the 1 second or whatever it's going to take.
Yeah,
the,
but if you're going to make a choice between in those circumstances to put a taser in your hand or a gun in your hand, you don't know what's on the other side, you better opt for the gun.
No, I think he already had the taser in his hand, is what I'm saying. I think that when he rounded the corner, I think he had the taser in his hand.
That's what I'm saying.
But it takes time. If he's going to lose the taser and grab the gun, then you're talking at least a second delay.
Right. What I'm saying is, at one point he made a decision to arm himself with one thing or the other.
Yeah.
I'm going to arm myself with my pistol because I don't know what's on the other side.
All right. So he may have been in a position to use the pistol, or if it was a less lethal situation, he wouldn't have been able to. But I get it. We've got a few seconds, Sheriff.
I just want people to know I'm not taser certified, so when you round the corner, I will have a gun in my hand.
Well, that takes all the guesswork out of that. All right, the Wounded Blue, thewoundedblue.org. But first, hey, thank you so much, Sheriff Mark Kreider and Lieutenant Randy Sutton. Another fantastic show. The Wounded Blue, Randy, you got a summit coming up. You've got about 30 seconds. Go ahead, buddy.
Yep. If you're law enforcement, of all the conferences to go to, the 5th Annual National Law Enforcement Survival Summit will be held in Las Vegas, September 22nd through the 25th. Go to thewoundedblue.org and support this organization. We are saving lives, changing lives, saving careers, and saving marriages. Thewoundedblue.org.
All right. I love it. Guys, don't miss that. And make sure you go to thewoundedblue.org. Oh, Randy Scott got his new book, Rescuing 911, as well on Amazon. Check that out. Our sponsors, guys, and look, check out Randy's book. Go to Amazon.com or type in Randy Sutton in order to get that. Gulls.com, ComplyTechnologies.com, Gunlearn.com, Blue the Gold, My Medicare, Safeguard Recruiting, and Two Bells. We'll see you guys back tomorrow, 12 noon Eastern.